We're coming, and we ain't backing down.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror.
I'm bitterly disappointed with the officiating today.
Guys being dudes.
And they run through our like through a tin horn, man.
Thank you, Lee. SplitZoneDuo.com. Thank you for your patronage of our Substack. I can still use the word patronage. Alex Kirshner, Richard Johnson, this is not a mea culpa. This is a disclaimer at the top. The topic for this episode was not my decision. The subject matter therein, I did not conceive. Do I entirely endorse it? Absolutely. Have I ever been more proud of Alex Kirshner from an editorial standpoint? I don't think so. Like, one day, I hope you guys understand the joy of like looking at a school play or a soccer sideline and you shed a tear as this young person that you've helped usher through life accomplishes something. Alex Kirshner, it's a big day for you. You're about to lay an entire diss track on a member of the media. So by all means, go. Get them tools out. Start cooking.
Steven wishes it were a diss track on a member of the media. It's actually really just an incredible marveling at the
mosaic. Dude, this is why you're a serial killer, is you don't realize what you're about to do. This is why you should be on a watch list.
Jimmy Sexton is probably the most powerful person in college football, for my money, because of the market power that he represents between so many of the coaches at the highest tier of the sport. I just think there's nobody who has the ability to place people in desirable situations and get schools, big public institutions, to bend to their preferences than the most well-situated power agent in college football.
You know, Alex, the point that you made there, I think, gets less true every year. And it's probably another podcast for another day, but especially because Nick Saban is no longer a college football coach.
Yeah.
I think that point lessens every year.
That's interesting. And it may lessen every year. I'm interested to hear your long range commentary on that. If it's lessening, then the old Titan, I think, has made an incredible last stand over the past few months. So obviously, as Nick Saban's representative, Jimmy Sexton is pretty well positioned to have an inkling that a retirement might be coming, and when it might be coming, and who else might be in play for that job, because Jimmy Sexton represents so many other people. He represents Kalen DeBoer, who took the Alabama job. He represents Lane Kiffin, who was long a rumored potential successor to Nick Saban in the event that he retired and is now at Ole Miss. And he represents Steve Sarkisian, who used to work for Nick Saban and is now the head coach at Texas. And what I was so interested in when Saban retired was how this one man's position representing so many of the coaches who were either clearly directly involved in the search or were at least tangential to it would affect the way that information got out about that search and like the long-term understanding that the entire world would have of how Alabama went from Nick Saban to Kalen DeBoer. And I have a proposition for you guys, college football insiders that you are, that I wanted to lay out for you that I think we can now lay out because of a bit of journalism that came out in ESPN on April 17th, about 3 months, almost to the day, I believe, after Nick Saban's retirement. Can I lay out the theory for you?
Please.
Okay. Lay out your theory.
On March 6th, Chris Lowe, who's a reporter for ESPN, does sort of a big TikTok on how Alabama landed on Kalen DeBoer.
We're Gen Z, baby. I think we lost it. We lost it.
Yeah, we have lost it.
To your generation.
Yeah, we have lost.
A TikTok, TikTok, sort of a long step-by-step on how Alabama wound up getting Kalen DeBoer to replace Nick Saban. And I'll just quote from it. From the outset, Washington's DeBoer and Florida State's Mike Norvell were at the top of Byrne's list. That's Greg Byrne, the Alabama athletic director. Both had what Byrne was looking for, a proven head coach who had won on a big stage and shown the propensity to develop players. Byrne declined to go into detail about whom he talked to first or his pecking order. but he had serious conversations with both coaches the day after Saban retired. Throughout the interview process, Byrne was in contact with Bell, as well as with Saban and Mike Brock, the athletics committee chair of the Board of Trustees. Byrne had to deal with only one agent, as Jimmy Sexton represents both DeBoer and Norvell. End quote. Of course, also represents Nick Saban, who is retiring. That's an interesting thing to me off the jump, Richard, because Byrne sort of declines to say who he was interested the most. And the terminology that we are left with is simply that these two coaches together, DeBoer and Norvell, quote, were at the top of Byrne's list. Is that possible in athletic director brain to have like an either or top of your list, like two guys in a tie?
Richard, do you want to?
Yes.
You want to do that?
Yes, I do. I would like to take it in two parts. First, Alex, can you please reread for the audience that quote that you just read?
From the outset, Washington's DeBoer and Florida State's Mike Norvell were at the top of Byrne's list.
And then there was a part in there that Greg Byrne only had to deal with one agent. Can you read that portion for the class?
Byrne only had to deal with one agent, as Jimmy Sexton represents both DeBoer and Norvell.
All right, full stop. Let's take that one first. If I'm an athletic director and I am trying of Greg Byrne's stature at a school of Greg Byrne's stature, and I'm looking to hire a head football coach, I would say in a regular cycle, not in January when my head coach leaves, honestly, kind of out of nowhere, relatively. Just because Greg Byrne only formally engaged with Jimmy Sexton does not mean Greg Byrne only vetted Kalen DeBoer and Mike Norvell. That is not what that means. That means that those two kind of became finalists, so to speak. But I can guarantee you, because Greg Byrne's an athletic director worth his salt, and he just paid somebody like $10 million a year, there were other folks that had a little back channeling, a little of a phone call. Remember when the Texas A&M Dan Campbell thing came out and everybody was like, oh, that's so funny, like da 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 da. It means that you just picked up the phone to somebody Dan Campbell knows and you said, hey, wonder if. And Dan what Campbell if? Said no, and that's fine. But it means you didn't engage Dan Campbell's agent. It means you just picked up the phone and asked a question. You're just asking a question. And because that question wasn't reciprocated or wasn't answered to Texas A&M's liking, obviously, Dan Campbell was staying in the NFL with the Lions. It is what it is. So that's one perspective. So no, I do not believe the only agent Greg Byrne talked to throughout this entire process was Jimmy Sexton. That is just not the case. Now, that's one thing. The other thing is this. Think less about candidates at being ranked as candidates being in a tier. That's just how you should think about it. I got these four or five candidates. Maybe there's an order in which I talk to them for various reasons. I know this was after the season. So sometimes I talk to this coach first because he played on Friday. Sometimes I talk to this coach first because he played on Saturday and is coming through the Atlanta airport when I am. Like, it is what it is. But it means that they were all sort of in that same tier. So no, I do not think Greg Byrne had a ranked wish list of guys. I think that these two guys happen to be in the final tier for Alabama search.
Very, very reasonable.
What so far has you roiled? Because my entire purpose on this journey for you, Alex, is to help you feel your feelings. What so far has you pissed off from like a journalist's perspective?
Well,
so
far? Nothing has me pissed off yet, but I'm piecing together a theory. And so far, as Richard has just helpfully drawn out, I'm interested because it seems like the retelling of this story from the only reporter or outlet that's going to get it in this detail on the record is that there were only two candidates from the jump who were at the top of the list and that only one agent was being dealt with. Seems like that's a very nice and convenient thing to say to both of yeah.
Formally dealt with.
For the audience's sake, why would you said the only reporter who's going to get it? Why?
Well, because college football coaches only give on the record media access in one-on-one interview settings to favored handpicked reporters. And as I will get to in a moment, it certainly looks like one outlet, one reporter, Chris at ESPN, have been the guys to be able to get the principals in this story on the record. And I should also shout out Andrea Adelson of ESPN, who did kind of an adjacent interview with Mike Norvell at Florida State. So that's why I think this is something I've kind of been keeping track of. So kind of from the jump, it seems like Jimmy Sexton is being taken care of very nicely here, because we are to believe that the entirety of the Alabama coaching search came down to two guys in a non-specific order. So you can't say that the first guy, that you can't say the guy who got the job wasn't the first choice, because it was just two guys in a non-specific order. And that's not put forward by Greg Byrne, and that's fine. But then obviously the search had pretty significant reverberations beyond that, because Steve Sarkisian got a fat contract extension at Texas. He was probably going to get one anyway, because he had just taken them to the playoff. But Steve Sarkisian, right around this time, gets a nice new deal from the University of Texas at Austin. And Steve Sarkisian is represented, Stephen, by... Is it the same agent? Yes. Jimmy Sexton? Great. Yes.